Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Welcome to episode 72 of the Bible Girl podcast. Today we're going to be talking about slowing down, and we're going to talk about some of the benefits and how we kind of start to slow down in our lives, and how that directly relates to our own spiritual life in today's podcast. And then we're going to do some other podcasts. We're going to do a podcast on having a day to be slow, and we're going to talk about Sabbath and some things about that that are very pertinent to our lives today. And then we'll also have some other topics about slowing down that I'll be doing throughout the next few weeks and months as I continue to reflect on the process of slowing down. I think it's incredibly important for our spiritual development as well as our social engagement and our physical and emotional well-being to stop the relentless pace from time to time and pull back and slow down a bit. So we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to give you some benefits that I've seen in my life and then also give you some tips to get started in these areas. Let me just explain, though, what I mean by slowing down. I don't necessarily mean to eliminate everything from your calendar except the fun stuff and just enjoy life. And I also don't mean that you shouldn't be busy, because I believe that there are certain people who function well in a bit more of a faster pace of life. And also I believe that not being busy can be just as much of a problem, because then we fill our time with things that maybe aren't as beneficial to us. And so I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, just living this relaxed life on the beach. I'm talking specifically about taking some of the things in our lives that we rush headlong right through and deliberately and intentionally slowing the pace of them so that we can get a little more joy and a little more benefit from them. Just as you ever see a kid who's like really hungry, or maybe he's getting a treat that he doesn't normally get, and he practically swallows it whole, and you kind of look and you're like, you didn't even taste that, you ate it so fast. I feel like that is very much indicative of our culture today, that we experience all of these things, but we're in such a rush through them that we don't actually fully participate in them and we're not present. And because of that, we miss what God is doing in those moments. I think one of the saddest things about the pace of our lives is that we can completely overlook the work of God. I read a book last year called Soul Keeping by John Ortberg, and he gives this quote from Dallas Willard. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Now, John Ortberg goes on to say that the man who gave him that quote, Dallas Willard, pointed out to him once that there is a world of difference between being busy and being hurried. Being busy is an outward condition, a condition of the body. It occurs when we have many things to do. Busyness is inevitable in modern culture. If you are alive today in North America, you are a busy person. By itself, busyness is not lethal. Being hurried is an inner condition, a condition of the soul. It means to be so preoccupied with myself and my life that I am unable to be fully present with God, with myself, and with other people. I am unable to occupy this present moment. Busyness migrates to hurry when we let it squeeze God out of our lives. Carrie Weems, in her book Rhythms of Grace, wrote, "The systems of this world is not designed to produce freedom, wholeness, or rest." And I would agree 100% with that. That the pace of the world is not just a busyness that keeps us moving. It's a hurriedness that keeps us from being fully present and fully aware of God in each moment of our day. There are some great benefits to slowing things down, and I will say that for me personally, putting a halt to some of the pace of my life in specific areas has been the best thing I've ever done for my own spiritual growth. One of the reasons I'm talking about this topic today is because today is the 1st of May, 2017, and I just posted, the last couple of days I've been posting the new scripture writing list on Instagram and Facebook. And I get a lot of questions from people, you know, what is this? It's just a verse a day. What are we doing with it? And I always, you know, try to explain what we're doing. And I feel that it's kind of almost countercultural to the Christian culture where we race from Bible study to Bible study and we read, you know, 3 or 4 chapters a day to read the Bible in a year. There's this culture out there where we have to consume more and more and more. And this author writes this great book and everybody has to read it and do the Bible study. And then we jump right into the next one and we're constantly acquiring huge amounts of knowledge and we're just soaking up all of this stuff. But when we slow down and we pause and we allow scripture to be digested in smaller pieces, we find that there's great power in that. There is an opportunity for God to get into the tight little corners of our soul and begin to do his work when we slow down and we focus on what we're doing. We're not trying to get those 4 chapters done so that we will be through the Bible by December 31st. Instead, we're trying to ask questions of the text. We're trying to look at what God has written in this letter to us and see how it should challenge us and how it should stir us and inspire us and motivate us and convict us. And it's hard to do that when we take big sections that we never reflect and we jump on to the next thing. So one of the reasons why I started writing scripture out by hand was because it forced me to be slow. I don't particularly like my handwriting. I don't have very good cursive. I was born left-handed, and when I was younger, my parents, before I started school, kind of forced me to use my right hand for things. And so by the time I got to school, I was technically right-handed, but it caused me a lot of problems. And one of it is that my cursive was terrible. And once I got out of school and I didn't have to write in cursive anymore, I gravitated back to printing. And the only way that I can write where my handwriting looks pleasing to me is slowly. So I began writing scripture because I'm a slow writer and because I love to write things out, but in pen and paper. And I found that it helped me because as I wrote each word out in that slow process, I would begin to reflect on each individual word and what it meant to the passage and how it was working together with the words that came before and came after. And I found myself being able to really hear God clearly in the scriptures and what point he was trying to get to me as I slowed down. And so that's, I guess, the first thing that I want to say as a benefit of slowing down the pace of your spiritual disciplines and some other areas of your life, is that we're able to hear God's voice and the promptings of his spirit in a way we can't do when we're racing from one thing to the next to the next. This was actually the biggest takeaway from my sabbatical. When I went away for 6 weeks, I had no task list. In fact, I left my planner at home. I did not take it with me. It felt a little weird for a while because I was used to referring to it so much throughout my day. But I realized as I had no agenda, and while I could be quiet and still, and when I could take time for a walk if I wanted one at any time of the day, and I could rest and I could listen and I could read and pray, I realized that in the pace of my life, I was not hearing God. Because when I began to slow down and could hear him, he was so loud to me. It was as if God had specific things he was trying to tell me individually in each moment and activity of my day. And I connected with God in a way that has been impossible since I came home. While I am improving in this area, the pace of life just fights against this. And the better we can get at it and the more we're willing to do it, the more clearly we will hear God speak. We are able to hear His voice and the promptings of His Spirit in those quiet moments of reflection when we slow down. Instead of reading all the chapters, instead of doing all the Monday through Friday Bible studies, one right after the other, after the other, after the other, we can stop and slow down, and we'll find that God is speaking clearly to us. Another benefit is that we're able to see clearly how our decisions affect our families and our own well-being. I think a lot of times when we race from thing to thing to thing and we really don't have any time built in for reflection and for slowing down, we begin to just kind of respond to what's immediately in front of us. So we just respond to that thing. This person wants our time. Okay. This family event's come up. You can't possibly say no. Okay. And on and on and on. We just react to everything. We're responding. But when you slow down and you begin to build times in to reflect and to think and to be quiet before God, you're able to see clearly what the toll that these decisions are taking on you as well as your family. Carrie Weems writes in Rhythm of Grace, "We don't treat any other resource as if the goal is to spend or use them until they run out. But we do this with our own time and energy, thinking that somehow this proves how spiritual we are. But it doesn't prove anything except how much we undervalue the only things we can't actually put a price on. Your family, your own health and well-being are priorities. They should be important to you. And often we sacrifice them at the pace of life that we're keeping to the whims of other people, to the whims of whatever decision comes our way. We're too tired, we're too exhausted, we're too stressed to make good decisions and to be able to speak honestly about the situation of our lives and our souls with others. And I think this is something that we don't recognize until we've gone so far that it's hard to get back. Another benefit to slowing down is we're able to make our decisions based on our purpose and our calling. One of the most interesting verses in the Bible is in John 8, where Jesus is kind of defending himself against the Pharisees. In fact, he's talking about how they're judging him and they're finding him wanting, and they don't appreciate his view of the kingdom of God. They don't appreciate how he's changing the rules. They certainly don't like how he is saying that he is the Son of God or that God sent him. These things are very offensive to them. And they're actually, you know, they're saying that the testimony that he's giving about himself isn't true. And in verse 14, John 8:14, Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going." In this verse, Jesus is telling them, "I know who I am." When he says, "I know where I came from," he is saying, "I know that I am the Son of God. I know that about myself. I know who I am. And because of that, I have a mission and a calling, and I know where I'm going. And I am moving toward that." And you can judge. In fact, they judged him harshly all throughout the Gospels. But that didn't stop Jesus from living out and making his decisions based upon his purpose and his calling. He knew who he was. And he knew what his job was. And I think we would do well to spend time reflecting upon that regularly. Who am I? What kind of person am I? I am a child of God. There's lots of things that are true about your life in addition to that. Being true to the person that God created you and to be and the mission that God has for you here on this earth is the only way you can make decisions and achieve any amount of personal peace, because God has called you to be that person and do those things, and you will never, ever feel at home as in yourself until you begin to live in those things. Jesus knew that. he knew that the disciples, not just the disciples even, the Pharisees, the people he visited with, the people that came to him for healing, the crowds that followed him, the people who served him, the women who took care of him, they all had their own idea of who he was and what he was supposed to be doing for them. But remember that Jesus he wasn't in the habit of doing something just because he could. He knew what he was called to do and who he was called to be. And because of that, he didn't just run through any open door, but he chose deliberately to accomplish those things. And we can spend a lifetime just running around doing whatever comes in our way, in our view. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to give you a quality and productive life and a life that pleases God and a life that you can live at peace that works. You're only going to get those if you live in who you are and what you were called to do. And you're going to lose sight of that very quickly if you're too busy. If hurry is a part of your life, you are going to miss it. And you're going to get to the end of your life, or you're going to have a big catastrophe befall you, or you're going to stress yourself out to the point that you can't go on anymore and you can't function. And you're going to realize that you were living far from the person you were created to be and the mission that you were given, the calling that you were given by God. The last benefit I want to mention to slowing down is that we're able to make gradual yet progressive changes in our obedience and our sanctification. Sanctification is a big word. If you study theology, you'll learn about all of those justification and propitiation and sanctification and lots of other cation words. But sanctification basically just means becoming more like Christ in your actions. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, we were made right with God as if we had died on that cross as well. And so our status with God has been fully cleansed and we are fully justified in God, but because of Jesus. But our actions still don't always reflect that. We still do things that hurt other people, that hurt ourselves. We still sin. We still make foolish choices. We still do things that are not very wise. We still act in ways that are selfish. We still put our own self before the well-being of others. We still do all of these things. And so as a result, sanctification is the process whereby we become more like Christ in the way we speak and we act and we think. And so slowing down is where these things happen, because when we slow down, we can process what God is teaching us, where the conviction is coming and what he wants to change in our lives. And we can then figure out, you know, why does this matter to me today? Why is God doing this in my heart and my life right now? Rather than rushing from one study to the next, slowing down allows us to reflect on what we're learning and how it can bear fruit in our day-to-day lives. A few years ago, probably I would say 5 or 6 years ago now, I went through a period of time where God was really burdening my heart for some things that were new. Things that I didn't really feel a burden about before, even though they had always been in my radar. But God began to stir within me something, and I recognized it. I began to tell God that I think you're trying to direct me somewhere, and I'm not clear as to where it is, but I get that you're trying to get my attention. And over the course of 2 years, God continued to do that in little ways and big ways until one day an opportunity presented itself to me, and I knew that God was in it. I knew he had spent 2 years preparing me for that. Guys, when you rush around and you don't pay attention to what God is doing in your life, opportunities are going to come your way. Chances for you to live in obedience to God, chances for you to act like Christ, and to enhance and to further refine the process of sanctification in you. And you're going to reject them because you're not going to see them as coming from God. If you race from thing to thing to thing, when God speaks, you won't recognize him. You won't know that he's been stirring your heart for maybe years for something. the pace of hurry in our lives, this inner restlessness that keeps us just striving and striving and striving for more, with an inability to stop and reflect and slow down, is going to rob you of opportunities, not just for your own spiritual growth and development and your own relationship with God, but it's going to rob you opportunities to help others and to bless the lives of others and to carry out what God you put you on this earth for. So I believe so strongly that we need to build in ways to slow down. Now, busyness, as we said at the beginning, is always going to be with us. So how do we combat that busyness in a way that keeps us from hurry? Okay, so if we're always going to be busy, how are we going to kind of know when we're jumping into hurry? And I think it's going to be different for every person. But I have some tips for you, and then I have a little tool I hope will help you. So how do I start doing this? First of all, when it comes to slowing down your spiritual disciplines, I would recommend that you take time, and this doesn't have to be every time. I'm not at all against doing Bible studies or doing like workbook type Monday through Friday Bible studies like you might get from Lifeway or from She Reads Truth or those kinds of things. I believe very strongly in them. But I also think that there should be times where you read smaller sections of scripture. This is one of the things that I have really tried to encourage people to do with scripture writing. I try to pick passages that are short enough that you could write during the day and still do another study if you were doing a Bible study. But having something that's slower pace, that's smaller, forces you to pay attention to it in a way that you don't always do with a larger study. So read smaller sections of scripture, write scripture out by hand. Spend time meditating and memorizing verses and passages. I have done entire podcasts on the benefits of meditating on scripture. I would encourage you to go back through the archives and find some of those if that's something that you think would help you. Meditating on scripture is probably the best thing I've ever done to really change behavior in my life. You can also read the same passage several times. I do this on my Sabbath day. I have scripture passages that I read, and I'll talk about this a little more in my Sabbath practice, but I read them several times, each time asking a different question of the scripture in a way that's more reflective and devotional than trying to pull out all of the facts and word meanings and things. You can also spend more time still and quiet in prayer, not just telling God all your feelings, but actually listening. Go ahead and tell him what you think and what you're afraid of and what you want to talk about, but let him speak to you. Be still and quiet and wait for him. And also, I would encourage you to spend some time in review, reflection, and prayer at the end of a study before jumping into the next one. This is something that I do. I use the first five, or She Reads Truth, depending on what they're studying at any given time. And I always, when it's finished, I stop and I kind of read through all my notes again and I reflect on what God is showing me. And I make a few things that I want to keep thinking about, and often will use them in my prayer time to pray about. So just pause for a little bit before you go to the next one. If this is something that you kind of do on your own and you don't have to keep up with other people, maybe give yourself a week between studies and just kind of sit with the things that you've studied and learned in that last study and take some time to process and to think the implications of those things in your life and how would those affect your life if you were to make changes, or if God were to stir you in a certain area, what would that require of you to follow him in obedience? And I think that that is something that, if there's only one thing on this list you could do, I would encourage you to do that. Stop a little between studies and spend some time in reflection and prayer with God, asking him, what is it from all of this knowledge I've just gained, all of these great insights, what of it is for me in my life today in these moments? When it comes to slowing down our schedules, I would carve out some time for solitude and reflection on your goals and the direction of your life. stop and look. Am I achieving my goals? Maybe you have some goals for your family. You and your spouse might have worked up some things that you would like to accomplish as a couple or as a family. Are we moving in the right direction? Are we struggling in those areas? Are there maybe goals that aren't working for us, or maybe our lives have changed and these goals don't really fit who we are anymore? Where is our life moving, and are we working toward these things? Schedule time to be home with your loved ones without an agenda or housework to do. Just be together. Just spend some time at home with each other. I think that's one of the greatest blessings that you can give the people you care about. And that is just being with them and being fully present, not trying to figure out how I can also get the laundry done and get the dishes washed and the floors clean, or how I can return all those phone calls or get the yard mowed or the dumpster down to the end of the road. But can I just stop all of those things and in these moments just enjoy the other person? Build times also, this is a good one, build times each day in your schedule to stop, catch your breath, and take a good deep breath, to breathe deeply for a little bit. I find sometimes I'm just moving constantly, and when I stop, I realize I don't think I'm breathing. I think I'm breathing very shallowly, and taking that big deep breath and letting all of that stale air out and doing that a few times, it can affect your concentration. It can help your ability to be energetic and get your tasks done. It can give you a little bit of clarity. And I think it's good for your body. Just build in time to pause. Let's not run at breakneck speed until we collapse, but let's give ourselves some pauses here and there just to stop, catch your breath, and breathe deeply for a while. The last section here is just slowing down our inner hurry, all of that stuff inside of us that just kind of wreaks havoc in our brains and transfers itself out into a flurry of activity. I would ask you to learn the value of good enough. We obsess over so many areas of life for a lot of unhealthy reasons. Our own insecurities, our past hurts and rejections, our fears of the future, our desire to be worthy or prove something to someone or prove someone wrong or prove someone right, whatever those things are. Because of that, we've lost the idea of good enough. There's a lot of things that we do in life that really can just be good enough. I will tell you, for me, that's cleaning. I don't enjoy cleaning. I don't enjoy it for lots of reasons. I've never enjoyed cleaning. I say that, I often wonder why anyone does, but every time I mention it, someone says, "Oh, I love to clean," or so there's lots of people out there apparently that enjoy cleaning. I am not one of those people, and I have a life that requires a lot of me. My schedule's very erratic, and it's hard to be routine and do things on a certain day. It's very difficult for me because my schedule changes so much. And so for me, I have decided that there's a version of house cleaning that I can live with that's good enough. And that means that some things don't get done as often as maybe my mother or my grandmother would do them. But I'm okay with that because it's good enough for me. There's other areas of my life that I've adopted this as well, and I think you could too. Instead of obsessing over every area of our lives and trying to make everything perfect, can there just be some things that good enough is just okay? And we can live with that. There are things where it's important to take our time and pay attention and do them well and invest a lot of emotional and physical energy and time into. But there are so many things that you can just deal with good enough. And I think it would help you maybe to make a list of those things. What are the things that I will be happy if I can do them good enough? I think that will help slow down some of the stress and anxiety we feel over the vast list of things we need to get done. You can ask yourself this question: what am I trying to prove? God has been whispering that into my ear since last fall. What are you trying to prove? When you race and hurry and try to get all the things done on your list, when you run through your spiritual disciplines and your time with me as if the devil's chasing on your heels, what is it that you're trying to prove? Are you trying to prove you can be consistent? Because that's probably not the best thing to prove. Actually, what I should be proving is that I love God and I want to spend time with Him. What is it that I'm trying to prove? Whose voice am I trying to silence in my head by doing things a certain way and by never stopping and constantly moving? Because oftentimes there is that voice. There is something that we're trying to prove to someone. And if we stop and we ask that question, we realize that we're trying to please someone or something in our lives that could never be satisfied. So I would ask you and to recognize, and this is something I feel like maybe needs to be one of our intent. We need to reword this maybe into one of our intention statements, but or declaration statements. I declare. Most of our inner hurry comes from trying to do more than we should, better than we realistically can, and make it appear easy to the outside world. That is so often the case with me, and I know so many who would agree with that statement. We try to do too much. We try to do it better than we are able to do realistically with the time and resources that we have. And yet all that time, we don't want anyone to see the struggle. We want to make it appear like it was nothing to everyone else around us. We don't want to ask for help. We don't want to admit that it was hard. We are afraid somehow of appearing less than or unworthy of what we're trying to accomplish. And so as a result, we take on too much. We do it in a way that isn't sustainable. And so we need to recognize that oftentimes that hurry is our own fault because we attempt too much. And we are the only ones that can stop that. If it's your fault, you're the only one that can fix it. So that leads me to my last tip here. Bring it all to God. When you feel yourself engaging in this inner hurry that robs you of the joy of the present moment, ask God to reveal Himself to you. Ask Him to clarify His purpose for this season of your life and follow His leading at His pace when He directs you. That's the only way. That's the only way we're going to combat this. All of those tips are great, but ultimately it comes down to listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, slowing down long enough to ask Him your questions and follow where He leads. I can guarantee you His pace is going to be slower than yours. And then every once in a while, He's going to surprise you and He's going to take you someplace you never expected faster than you ever imagined. God's like that. He's very surprising. To help you out, I have created a little tool that I have used off and on throughout my life since college, actually. I have tweaked it and changed it so many times, it constantly gets revamped. I took it and I reworked it a little bit and took out some of the more personal questions that relate to my specific goals and reworded some things in a way that would be more helpful for a larger group of people. It's called My Quarterly Assessment, and it divides questions into 5 sections. It goes over your spiritual disciplines, your social interactions, your personal care, your goals and schedule, and a plan for the next 3 months. It's something where you're meant to answer the questions in the first 4 sections, and you're supposed to think through those. And then as you've done that, reflect on those answers, then make a little bit of a plan for the next 3 months. And this plan isn't, let's not be rigid with this. This is not a million things we need to do. This is just an assessment of where we've come and where we'd like to move forward. And I have found these to be very, very helpful at many different seasons of my life. This is a way to slow down and reflect and to listen. I would encourage that you do this every quarter. I would think you should probably schedule maybe 2 to 3 hours for this. Go somewhere where you can be quiet, where you can be still before God. Open with prayer and ask Him to help you see yourself clearly, see the circumstances of your life clearly, and begin to answer these questions. I have it on just one sheet of 8.5 by 11 paper, but it's full. It's a lot of questions there. I think that you will find it helpful if you're willing to take the time and do it. And it certainly is something that has been regularly been a benefit in my life. And I know that God will use it in yours as well. I wish you a great week, and I will hopefully see you back on the podcast for another episode. Next time, we'll be talking about Sabbath. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.